Hi, it's November 28th, and you're listening to Mortain Rambles on and on and on about books. Today I'm going to talk about something that's a little unusual for me to talk about. I'm going to talk about romance novels, because I've been reading a lot of them lately. Not for any particular reason. Well, actually for a very particular reason, which is very simply that I like them. I like romance novels. I realize that people think, oh, you know, fluffy, you know, whatever. But actually, some of them are really good. Some of them are, you know, not great literature, but fun or funny or just plain, let's face it, sexy. and for the same reason that men read Penthouse magazine or look at the pictures, I read romance novels. So, with that in mind, I'm going to give you a little bit of a rundown of some of the romance novels I've been reading lately. And if you're not into romance novels, and you've genuinely given them a chance, like, let's face it, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I hate romance novels, but they've never read them, okay? But if you've actually given them a chance and you're like, oh my god, those things are so terrible, then that's not what you're looking for in a book. You can probably skip this podcast. But if you are interested in romance novels or you maybe aren't as satisfied with your personal sexuality or sensuality or however you want to call it. in other words, you're looking for some literature with a turn-on, stay with me. and I'm going to give you some short rundowns for these because I got a bunch of them and I don't want to wait. I don't want to spend a lot of time in in-depth analysis of romance novels, deconstructionism, and all that stuff. So here we go. Because You're Mine by Lisa Kleypas. This is a Regency-era romance about a young woman who runs off to get herself fallen in order to avoid a distasteful marriage. Actually, what's really funny about this is I think it's a Regency-era romance, but it's never actually stated. So it could be any time from Regency through Victorian right up to, I would say, probably the 20s. I don't think it can get I don't think the sexual morals that are discussed in the book really last past that. But I do laugh every time I see the Levi's Straight Leg Jeans commercials because the soundtrack song is Because You're Mine and they're all about finding the one. The next one is Sex and the Serial Killer by Jennifer Scully. This is a contemporary novel. That means it's written in the modern day about a woman who follows her cheating ex-husband into small town California to get revenge, just sexually. But this is actually a mystery novel as well as a romance novel. And I kind of like these cross-genre romance slash mystery. I think they work pretty well. Some of them kind of fall apart when the realism of the mystery story is sacrificed. But if the author is writing well, if they're doing a good job at writing a good story, it works pretty well. Anyway, I found this very entertaining, and the romance part takes place in the first half of the book, and the, you know, a lot of complaints about romance novels is the vocabulary. Oh, he pressed his manhood against her cleft and things like that. Well, actually, in this one, they have a very modern vocabulary and they talk way dirty when they're having the sex scenes. So, that's always entertaining. And having non-virginal romance novel heroines, I always like that. The non-virgin romance novel heroine is rare in historical romance because a lot of the whole Regency era stuff is, you know, it's all about, you know, her virginity. But in the modern day stuff, a lot of it is much more liberated, shall we say. Okay. anyway, so moving on. I read Bel Canto recently, which isn't a romance novel. It's actually a kind of a suspense, and I really enjoyed it. But I listened to it on audiobook, and that really helped because there's a lot of accents in it. So moving on with the romance novels, I read Nerd in Shining Armor by Vicki Lewis Thompson, and this was the standard Lost on a Deserted Island romance novel. But it's about an Uber nerd, this total programmer guy who the only reason they survived the plane crash is because he spent like 100 hours on the Microsoft Flight Simulator, and of course the object of his desire. And this is just a charming novel. It's really cute and kind of silly. So anyway, and Only a Duke Will Do by Sabrina Jeffries. I marked this one as a steamy Regency era romance novel, and it was just a very standard, Regency era novel with a lot of steamy scenes. So very entertaining. Okay, the next ones are The Flame Is Love, Daring the Duke. The Flame Is Love is by Barbara Cartland. Now, Barbara Cartland is kind of the reigning queen of romance novels from the like 50s and 60s. This woman has written more books in all genres than anyone else. This one is set in turn of the century New York and Paris and London, and it's about a rich American heiress seeking love and, finding, well, love. It's a little bit silly, but it's a Barbara Cartland romance novel, so you kind of excuse a lot of that silliness because it's the reigning queen of romance. And then Daring the Duke by Anne Mallory. This one is set in what I think is Regency London, but there are very few, again, there are very few little actual Regency references. And unlike most Regencies, this one lacked the big obligatory clothing scene. We call it clothing porn because in Regency novels, a lot of times it's all about the dress and what is she wearing and what is he wearing, and there's a lot of costume description just for the sake of fulfilling some wardrobe need. I don't know, maybe that's a little shallow, but these are not deep books. The next one is Deadly Pleasures by Brenda Joyce. This is technically a mystery novel, as are most of these in the Deadly Pleasure series, the Francesca Cahill series. She's a amateur sleuth in 1902, I think it is, in New York, solving crimes. She's also, of course, a wealthy heiress. We like having our heroine's very wealthy in these novels. And the romantic subplot in Deadly Pleasures doesn't really go very far. But what you have to understand is that this is a series, and it's a romance, and it's a mystery novel series more than it is a romance novel series. Brenda Joyce writes other novels that are romance novels, and they're very good. But this particular one is, this particular series is primarily mystery with romance thrown in, so there's a kind of a different thing. And then there's Sebastian by Anne Bishop. Now this one is cross-genre. It's fantasy and romance, and frankly, it's kind of billed as erotic, as erotica. Now I should be clear on this because it's the cover that claims it's erotic and romantic. And the main character is an incubus, okay, which is, that's a sex demon. And so you expect in a story where the main character is a sex demon to have some sex in it. The story doesn't so much have that. And I think that if you have a fantasy novel with such a heavy emphasis in marketing, at least, that it's erotica, it should actually have some erotica in it. So that's just my kind of viewpoint on that. A lot of people have said in response to my criticism of this that I should try reading the Anita Blake books, but because they're very explicit, which is kind of sad because everything I've read of the Anita Blake books, these are by Laurel K. Hamilton, they're basically vampire fantasy novels that are sheer porn. They have no real story to them anymore. So, yeah, a lot of people aren't so thrilled with those. Let's see. I also read Deadly Affairs. I'm just going to skip over the rest of the Francesca Cahill ones because I think they're very, I won't say they're formulaic, but they're predictable. You can expect that Francesca Cahill will somehow fall into a murder mystery or kidnapping or big theft or something, and she will try to solve the crime because these are basically sleuth books. And in the process of trying to solve the crime, she will romantically encounter one or two of the leading men in her series. Anyway, I read The Stolen Bride by Brenda Joyce. Now, this is actually one of her romance novels. This is not a murder mystery in any way, shape, or form. It's literally a bodice ripper, and it takes place in I think the 18th century, in England with Irishmen, and the guy goes to jail and so forth. And it's a little odd if you really like the drama hero, the tortured soul, and oh, his life has been so terrible. It's a good one, but otherwise it's kind of Baited by Crystal Green, another one of these lost on a desert island story. It's also cross genre with suspense. I would say that if I were comparing this one to the Nerd in Shining Armor, I would say Nerd in Shining Armor is much better, just because it is just so much more fun. It's clear they're having a lot of fun in this book, and the author is having fun with it. And with Baited, the main character is so serious, and she tries to be tortured, and so on and so forth. And it kind of falls. It sort of the flaws, the insecurity that the author tried to give the protagonist, it just didn't ring very true to me. And then the next one is one I'm going to actually give you my highest glowing recommendation. It's called Seducing the Spy. It's by Celeste Bradley. This is a it's a Regency romance about a fallen woman who seduces a spy. And the thing about this book is not the story. It is the characters and their dialogue, and they are funny, funny, witty. It's just, I mean, I'm reading this, and I don't read passages from romance novels to my husband because he's not into that. But I actually did with this one because it was just very adorable and very funny and very witty. And I would just stop reading in the middle of something and say, "Oh, you have to hear this," which is very rare for romance novels. So I re really recommend this one. And if you are the kind of person who isn't sure about a romance novel or isn't sure if they want to, if they're, in general, if they like the genre, this would be a great one to start with, or any of these in this series called The Royal Four, just because they are so, she's so witty, so funny. There's a lot of fun in that one. So, anyway, and then the last two, I read Deadly Caress, and which is another Francesca Cahill, and Step in Time by Anne Barber. Now, this one is a time travel Regency romance, and it was written in the 1980s. It's very short. It's got a cute storyline, and it's very fluffy. There's nothing terribly challenging about this book, which is great because it's a good beach read. It's a good one for when you have to fly on an airplane and you're just kind of like, ah, I just want something to fill my mind. Felt that, to take the time. It is not explicit. It doesn't have any explicit sex or anything. So if you're concerned about giving it to a teenager, it's actually, it's not, it's perfectly appropriate for someone in high school, or even junior high. The sex scenes, they're not even sex scenes. The kissing scenes are, or the passion scenes are all, oh, he filled her with a peculiar feeling and things like that. So they're very tame. Which means I didn't enjoy it quite as much as probably most people would, but that's just me. I read The Pleasure Chest and Rabbit Heart. Now, these two are very explicit. The Pleasure Chest by Jewel McBride is, it's right on the border between romance and porn. And I think the main difference is that, and you have to understand that with romance novels, the big thing about romance novels is that it's two people who meet, and whatever their feelings for each other, they don't really understand, or they're not completely honest with each other. And so the rest of the book is a process of determining how they feel, and the culmination of the story, and this is all the emotional part. The culmination of the story is a moment of emotional honesty with each other. And if you read romance novels a lot, you will find it. You'll find it in every single one where at some point they both confess that they love each other. One of the key things with romance novels is love conquers all as well. It's like a you just have to accept that as a premise. Well, the thing about and that's the difference between a romance novel and erotica. Erotica is really aiming not for an emotionally honest moment, but a physically gratifying moment. So the pleasure chest sort of does both. It's a time travel witch's curse story. The majority of the book is sex. And really explicit sex, and it's enjoyable and everything, but at some point you're just kind of like, do they do anything except have sex the entire time they're together? And the answer is probably not. So you wonder if they eat. The next one is Rabbit Heart by Colleen Hitchcock. Now, this one is supposed to be sort of a psychological thriller, romance slash erotica, and the premise is that every time the heroine makes love, her lover dies, and she doesn't know why. Now, this takes place in the 18th century, so medical research is a little vague. However, their deaths do not diminish her insatiable appetite. She has got, I mean, this is a woman who, I can suspend disbelieve it to a point. But this, in this particular case, and I gotta stop here because my phone's ringing. Hold on.